Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. Men's Tea Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteaclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Mike McCarthy's Presser brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We'll jump into that as soon as Mike stands up and starts talking. I don't know about you guys last night listening to him on the post-game show. I watched it on YouTube later last night. What I heard from Mike is a guy – you know, that kind of sounded defeated. You know, is he done at this point? That's what I would be thinking. I'd be thinking, holy cow, we are not any better. As soon as we get up against quality teams, if we even make the playoffs, it's going to be a very similar and sad story. And I'd be thinking about, I'm going to probably have to be relocating here before too long. Going into this season, I've remained open-minded, you know, because of how many good things we saw in Oxnard. I said it's possible here that this team can surprise us. And while everybody is down, they're getting ready to unleash hell on the league. It's clear though that status quo has put them back in the same spot. And now, you know, for the next 15 games, I'm hoping that the message gets driven home as hard as possible. I think the best thing that can result from the rest of this season now is a great draft pick. And the potential to take an all-pro difference maker inside the top 10. That's the best thing that could happen right now, unfortunately, because we need the Jones boys to get such a massive serving of humble pie, they can't hide from it. Okay, Mike McCarthy coming up here in just a minute. Let's see if we can get in some NFL news today, Will Chuck. What do you say?
Yeah, absolutely. We got some news hot off the press. Running back of the Kansas City Chiefs, Isaiah Pacheco, has a fibula injury. He's expected to miss approximately 6 to 8 weeks, according to Jeremy Fowler. Mm. Now, they might be turning their attention to an old friend, as Shefty is then reporting that Kareem Hunt is going to come in for a visit tomorrow so he could help fill the Chiefs running back void. I think they still have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who is not available yet. Yeah. They brought in Samaje Perine, former Oklahoma Sooner running back, but maybe Kareem Hunt could come in, add some depth for them. But the story so far today is the Carolina Panthers benching Bryce Young. Number one overall pick. They hired Dave Canales, did an excellent job revitalizing Baker Mayfield's career last year, and that's carried over. I mean, Baker's still playing tremendous football. But Coach Canales, on benching Bryce Young, said this is the best decision for our group moving forward. Andy Dalton gives us the best chance. I watched the film. Ultimately, this falls on me. I feel this is the best decision to help the Panthers. Crazy scenario developing there in Carolina. And now you look at kind of what the Panthers traded to just get that number one overall pick and draft Bryce Young, which to me, if you're benching him now, it means you don't believe he's any good. You're moving on. So Bryce Young's going to be playing for a different team at some point.
Why hire Canellis then if you're going to bench the guy in the week two, after week two? I don't get that.
The whole thing does not make any sense to me.
You know, to me, you play through and you see, you know, like, okay, let's find some things this kid can do. Maybe he can't do anything. But I just wonder, you make a hire of an offensive coach, one that has a pretty good reputation of, you know, working with quarterbacks and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden Andy Dalton does nothing for you. I mean, maybe it doesn't lose the team.
Yeah, maybe you win a couple more games.
Yeah, but why? You know, if you're the coach, you stand up there and you say, hey, maybe, you know, they're giving me 4 years to do this, but if I could turn this kid around, you know, that buys you, maybe it gives you some more time there. But I just don't see going to Andy Dalton in week two unless he's totally worried about losing the team. You know, that would be the only thing. But if I was ownership, I would say, listen, you were brought in here to, you were brought in here to play this kid. I think this kid better.
I think you hit it. Like, you're worried about losing the team, and Canales has been working with the guy for 2 months now. I think there's probably a lot of people frustrated last year. And how many times do you see a kid play 19 games and be horrible and then become a good quarterback? You probably have seen what he is already, haven't you?
Yeah.
If you're a great quarterback coach, you see that.
For sure. I mean, he was pressured on just 4 of 29 of his dropbacks in yesterday's game. So it wasn't like, hey, you're just being hounded at a ridiculous rate and your offensive line's so broken. This is just a guy who is clearly, there's nothing about him that is NFL quarterback worthy from a size standpoint, trying to read defenses he can't even see. He's throwing interceptions because, yeah, he didn't even see the guy there. He can't see over his offensive line.
We got to go to McCarthy. Those are great points, Chief. Here's the coach.
Mike, David Moore, Dallas Morning News. Swings in performance are always exaggerated in September because you have less of a sample size.
Thanks for saying that, David.
But from week one to week two, that was a pretty dramatic swing. Do you read more into it, or do you try to put it in that context?
Oh, no, I think it's part of your data for evaluation. I'm a huge believer in, education, and really is part of your preparation, and then you go play it. That's the application of it. Then you evaluate it and start all over again. We need to be better, in this week's preparation. We weren't quick to the first punch, with that, that's the confidence and just being totally on top of the details of, each and every contest. And I thought that they finished better than we did. So, those are two of the biggest constants throughout the evaluation process today with the players. So, we need to learn from it.
And in this too, when you're talking about it's about preparation and response, which goes beyond just scheme or preparation sometimes. How did you feel about the team's response when things started going against it very early in that game?
I thought the emotional was, as far as the focus was good. All the feedback from the coaches, the interactions, the corrections on the sidelines, halftime. There was really never no blink. Everybody felt that we're going to get back and, momentum, change the momentum with some, consistency. The disappointment, obviously, on defense was an inability to, win first and second down and never really getting into, an opportunity to rush the passer, so they controlled the sticks and predominantly with their, with their action pass game and run game. So, and then, offensively, our biggest was not scoring touchdowns. We felt if we could have just, went one for one and slugged it out. I mean, what do you have, 14-play drive, 13-play drive, 9-play drive? So, I mean, the ability to drive the ball was there. We just didn't put in the end zone. So, and then, then it got away from us here in the fourth quarter.
Clarence Hill, All-City Dallas. So much talk about the scheme and going against that offense. Was it a – Micah said it was more of an effort issue than a scheme issue. What did you see on tape? Was it effort?
I would say it's an effort issue, and I just spoke to the team today at 2 o'clock, and I'm one of the one that has access to all the information. Was at the game on the sidelines. I think it really came down to, I thought they were quicker to the first punch more often than we were, and I think that was just in the. I think it leads back to your preparation, but the 2.3 is really what we use as a, if you measure it, and it just to put mathematics to it. They finished better than we did. I thought they played better than we did at the end of each play, not every play, but overall as far as the evaluation. So, and that's what we're focused on moving forward.
I'm Mike Todd Archer with ESPN. Kind of like what Clarence was saying, but why is the Shanahan offense giving this defense trouble? From Dan's scheme to what Mike has done, even Mike's time in Minnesota, they had some issues with facing that scheme as well.
Well, I think it's the run game's difficult. I mean, it's a commitment to run, run that run game, and there's benefits of it, and then there's things that why you go in a different direction. But yeah, it's tough to play if you don't play it all the time. There's no question about it. But at the end of the day, it still comes down to fundamentals.
John Machado with The Athletic. I was just wondering, kind of off of that, the run defense specifically, the defensive tackle position, What gives you confidence that you guys do have the answers for other teams?
Well, I mean, we made some technique adjustments that we need to be better at. I mean, you know, we can't get gapped, and we were gapped, you know, time and time again. That puts more pressure on your, you know, your second level defenders, obviously your linebacker and your primary support elements. So, we have to, you know, it's that first step, the discipline of playing the technique and making sure the fit behind them is in order. And we definitely were not clean and we weren't consistent.
Calvin
Watkins, Dallas Morning News. Very early in the season, but is it not too early to reevaluate where you are with the running game with the personnel there?
Reevaluate.
In terms of moved up.
I think you're always, you know, you're always looking at. Yeah, I mean, we treat everybody in the building as, you know, the same as far as consideration. Yeah, so I mean, that's a constant. That's the beauty of having a competitive environment. So I wouldn't just put it, you know, just in, you know, focus just on that one area.
When you look at the running game offensively, how would you evaluate it so far?
I think a better evaluation come when we get the attempts up. You know, I think we've had two games and, you know, really haven't had a full dose of, you know, lining up and playing four quarters of run and pass mix. So.
Saadi's The Athletic. Mike Tyler Guyton, after making his debut, how did you feel he had kind of had the encore?
I thought he played solid. I thought he did a lot of good things. I mean, he's getting better. I thought both him and Cooper took a step forward, and I think that's really a very fair expectation to have for rookies, you know, playing in their first and second game. So I thought they both took a step from last week.
And for Dak, when the game does kind of get out of hand like that, is it just quarterback's thing that you're going to try to get it to your best playmakers? Did you feel like he missed reads or anything later in the game trying to get the ball to CD in particular?
I'm not sure what you're referring to. You want to be more specific? Or I mean, we're Yeah, I think he just might have played that a little fast, you know, because of, you know, Tyron was cutting to CD, and if you saw the route that went through first, I mean, a little more patience here may have helped us.
Nick Harris for Star Telegram. Just in your evaluation of today and how today has gone, what's been the response from the team?
Good response. I mean, a lot of work was, you know, got done there in the weight room early, and then you know, went through the medical checks, and then, you know, we met special teams, offense, defense, and I had the team meeting at two. So everything's been looked at, everything's been talked about, everything's been corrected, and we have moved on to Baltimore.
As far as Zach Martin, is he probably a guy that maybe does some rehab work this week?
You know, Zach's in that Wednesday group, so I think, you know, once we get past that, I think he'll be fine. But, you know, I never like to – trust me, we were talking about this before you come in here. I'd love to tell you everything. Just here, he's playing right now, we'd be done with it. But you got to wait the week. Things can happen, you know. So, I'm not going to – you know, unfortunately, you practice Wednesday, Thursday, and then again on Saturday. So, but – Zach will be in the that Wednesday vet group.
Scott.
It's Kyder Dixon with BAP. More specifically on the defense, the wild swing from week one to week two. So good week one, and then just couldn't get a stop in week two. How do you kind of come out of that and evaluate
things? I think it really falls more in the category. It's never as good as you think it is, and it's never as bad as you think it is. Now, it was not good yesterday. I'm not saying that, but, you know, I stood here 7 days ago on a Monday and said we got a lot of work to do, and 1-by-3 scores, and that wasn't lip service. You know, we have a lot of work to do. We looked like a young, inexperienced football team at times in that game yesterday. That was my first impression when I finished watching all three phases last night. So then after going through all the eval with everybody, you know, we need to be better. Our young guys are going to, you know, they made some mistakes at unfortunate times that were costly, but that's part of playing young players, this many young players early. But so, you know, with that, I'm calling on the veterans to help pull us through those moments, and that starts in preparation.
Babe
Loffenberg, 105.3 The Fan. Mike, so you coach long enough, like you have, you have games like this. Have you found, you know, in high school you can run your team to death, but have you found that you kind of don't have to say too much because at this level these guys are embarrassed and they don't want to see the same thing happen again? How do you handle this?
Yeah, this is, you know, I think you have to be very consistent in your correction and during your evaluation process. Days like this are hard on everybody, you know, because and I think when you see your team not beating the other team to the punch, you know, more than they're beating us to the first punch. I take it very personal. So I know these days are really, you gotta get past them, you know. So obviously I'm looking forward to getting out of here, so then I'll get to go watch the Baltimore film. But it's a grind, you know, when you put so much into these, and I think it gets harder. It's been my experience. The older I get, these losses are harder. But you know, you want to just make sure you're being consistent with your coaches and being consistent with the players.
Garrett Bodell, CBS Sports. What is your thought on where Jake Ferguson is at? And just, can you also speak to kind of the intangible impact he brings when he does play? Dak kind of touched a little bit on that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Jake's a big part of the heart and soul of that locker room. No question about it. I was told he had a good workout today, so that. That's good news, but you know, we'll see how he comes in tomorrow and so forth. I mean, I'm hopeful he can play.
Yeah. Mike Edwarder, WFAA. You mentioned Dalvin Cook a few minutes ago. Could you give us a sense of how you view his physical readiness to play and his understanding of, you know, the offense and so forth at this point?
Yeah, Dalvin looks good. You know, understanding that he's, you know, this. A big thing for a vet is just the terminology, you know, frankly, and just the language adjustment. And I think he's progressed very, very nicely since he's been here. You know, he's a, you know, as natural as an outside zone runner that I've competed against. He looks good. He's getting there.
Clarence.
Speaking of just wild swings from week one to week two, the snap counts for DeMario and Overshawn, that's such a great game week one. What is he not doing to be in the base defense and certainly seem like impact player week one? What is the difference?
Well, I just think like anything, you know, you got a new scheme, you got young players, you make decisions on training reps in base, training reps in sub. So, you know, obviously last week he was primarily, you know, going to be, you know, part of the sub package. We weren't anticipate being in that much space going into the game, but that's, you know, that's the way the game went. So, you know, those things happen.
John.
Mike, Jonah, Javon, WFAA. This question is kind of Shanahan offense related, but we see so much pre-snap motion now in today's NFL. Just kind of curious about maybe your history of coaching in football and maybe why we see so much of it now and maybe why it took so long for some of the offenses, I guess, to get to that point?
I think just like anything, I mean, everybody has a philosophy. You know, the shifts in motions, I think if you watch historically football, I know in the 3 decades that I've been in, you know, pro football had such a big effect on college football. And then I'm going to say about 15 years ago, I think it's kind of, now you're seeing the effect of college football that came into the pro game, and it's more in the passing game, the shotgun. You know, when I first got in the league in the early 90s, you know, I had quarterbacks that had never been in the gun. You know, it was always under center. I'd never been in a shotgun until 2000. And then it obviously flipped. Now you got quarterbacks that come in and have never taken a snap under center. So my point is, I think that, you know, the wide open offenses in college, you know, out west, and hey, I was one of them, used to stay up and watch the WAC and, you know, those games, because they were doing some really cool things. You know, it's different field, different spacing and things like that. So I do think the college game has, you know, affected pro. I think that was definitely part of the migration there. You know, in the old days, you know, everybody played either a 4-3 defense or just a 3-4. So, I mean, I just think it's part of the evolution of football, and I think that's why it's so important to just stay on top of the trends. You know, when you hear about, you know, offensive schemes and so forth, you know, they're really being regenerated from past decades, you know, because this game is about a cycle of scheme, and it just kind of, you just got to try to stay on the front end of it too. So, but why it took so long, I mean, I can't really, I don't have an opinion on it. I just think it's part of the trends, and, you know, people tried it, and the first guy that tried it was having success, and, you know, it'll always be a copycat league.
Joe.
Joe Hoyt, All City Dallas. You mentioned being quicker to the first punch a couple times. I was just wondering if you could kind of elaborate on the meaning of that and how you go about being quicker to the first punch.
Well, I just think it's like anything. You got to get lined up. You know your assignment and play your technique. As fast or faster than the other guy. They got their hands on us a little quicker up front than we did to them. It's one area of breaking points and route running. So you can take that all the way through. The competitive area of the game.
There.
Mike, Aaron Kasnitz, Lone Star Live. This is obviously your first time reviewing film of a loss with Mike Zimmer. What were your discussions like with him, and what did you learn about the way he likes to move on from?
Well, consistency. Once again, I think you got to remember it's not like we're sitting there, evaluating it. It's same answer. You got the alignments, assignments. Make sure the mental part of it's intact. And then you go through the fundamentals and techniques. Make sure that's intact. And then then you're always talking about the finish and the ability to make plays. We evaluated. Mike's an early guy, so we talked. For a while beforehand, and then I went in and watched it with his staff at 7:00.
Newey Scruggs, NBC 5 Dallas. Mike, you spoke about being in the game 30 years and then getting ready to watch Baltimore tape. When a team like this has expectations of Baltimore and they're down 0-2, what's that kind of pressure like trying to get that first win?
You talk about their pressure?
Yeah.
I just think, speaking on behalf of other teams is always a reach, but I've known John. John has an excellent football team. They have confidence. They played in the AFC Championship game. So, I think if anybody understands the length of a season and how far out this, we are away from, the most important games. But, yeah, they definitely, 0-2 is definitely brings a sense of urgency. We're 0-1 at home. It brings a sense of urgency for us. So, I think it's just more about being urgent.
Time.
Mike, you guys went 10 personnel and a bunch of. Was that due to Jake being out, or is that just the way the game
is? Just part of it, yes. Yeah, definitely.
What do you like about having, going no tight ends? Because you guys have been successful with multiple tight end formations on the field.
Well, I think it's more situational based. I think if you go back and look at the situations that we use 10 in, it could give you clarity to the why. They're a dime team, too,
Mike, when Jalen Brooks kind of has an unfortunate situation where he slips and the ball gets intercepted, do you talk to him about that? Do you let Dak handle that, or for his confidence, or anything like that?
Yeah, I didn't talk to him yesterday, but yeah, to me, that's part of playing and coaching in this league. You're always talking through the highs and lows of every game. That's part of the ebb and flow of the game. That's part of the communication network on the sidelines. So. Dak went back to him, so, two other times after that. So, I don't see why it was that big of a deal.
How surprised were you when you saw that tape again? Because you had said you looked like an inexperienced team and we didn't finish. How surprised were you when you came to those conclusions?
Well, I would say surprised. I was disappointed like everybody else, So, it's first home game and, had some momentum come out of week one. And you always want to improve. At the end of the day, the result is it's the ride, it's the competition. That's what counts. It's the process. So, and we did not improve. We did not improve from week one to week two. That's the biggest disappointment. And then obviously the result speaks for itself.
All righty, thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
There it is, Mike McCarthy press conference here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. A lot to react to in there. We'll do that, resume the NFL news of the day and more when we get back here.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In the Nation. Welcome back, Nation. Just had the Mike McCarthy press conference here on your home of the Cowboys. An overreaction Cowboys Monday continues. Brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, the question, why has Shanahan's offense given you trouble? And Zim's scheme in Minnesota apparently had problems with it as well. He said it's tough to play if you don't play it all the time. He says there's some things that make it good and some things that make you go away from it. I'd love to know more about why they have decided it's not for them when it's having a significant amount of success. I think it probably comes down to pride, ego, and just not knowing how to coach it or scheme it properly, if you ask me. I think the evidence is pretty overwhelming. Here's Woolchuck with more of your NFL news of the day.
Thank you very much. We'll start with our bad NFL stat of the day. But it's good if you're a Cowboys fan in the NFCs. The Giants have become the first team in NFL history to score three or more touchdowns, allow no touchdowns, and lose in regulation.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a terrible stat. The Commanders
had bad red zone offense, too.
They did. They kicked their field goals all the way to victory.
Not bad enough to lose to the Giants, though.
But not bad enough to lose to the Giants, no. So, yeah, the Giants, the cellar dwellers still in the NFC East. Now, we do have some audio to play for you. This was Justin Fields, and he's got the Steelers now at 2-0. They beat the Broncos 13-6 yesterday. He, I guess, was feeling for his guy, Russell Wilson, who, of course, wanted to play in this game. Former team, probably meant a little bit to him. But they're giving away a new type of game ball.
I mean, I think we all know Russ got kind of did dirty last year. So I know he wished, you know, he could have played today in this game. But it's awesome, you know, getting a win for him. He got a petty game ball. So, yeah, it's great getting a dub for Russ, for sure.
Kind of game ball?
A petty game ball. You know, because he was here, so.
He had a petty game ball. Didn't play a snap.
Is that a pity?
Yeah, petty. Petty.
A petty. Oh,
yeah,
a petty.
Yeah, not a pity.
They gave him a petty game ball. Not that he had anything to do with the win, but they felt for him because it meant something. So they gave him a petty game ball.
It's got to be a pity ball, right?
It's also a petty
game ball. He's just saying it wrong, man.
Yeah, I thought so.
Pity or petty?
I mean, it could be petty because he has such resentment for Denver.
Right.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you're playing your former team,
right,
you get a petty game ball.
Exactly. Game ball. But since he contributed nothing to the win, it's also a petty game ball. Either one works.
Yeah. Not good. And it's not, you know, Bryce Young definitely taking an L today, lost his starting job. But Will Levis was not having a good day yesterday either. And his head coach, Brian Callahan, was not shy when he took the podium postgame.
On the fumble, I know you look very upset on the sideline.
I think the camera caught it pretty clear, if I had to guess. So, I was upset. It was dumb. It was the same exact thing he did last week, and he cost us points in the red zone. And that is what it is. He's a grown-up, and he knows better. And so, you know, I was really irritated that he cost us 3 points in a game that we probably needed it.
You could see Brian Callahan on the sideline mouthing, "What the F are you doing to Will Levis in this moment in the second quarter where he attempts to lateral the ball? The Jets scoop it up. It takes away scoring and a scoring opportunity for the Titans. Not good." And that head coach is probably doubting, should I bench Will Levis as well?
It's the same coach who last week said we would have won if we would have just punted on 1st and 10 every time. Ooh. So he's quickly becoming one of our favorite coaches in all of football, Brian Callahan, who is the son of football or running game Moses.
Running game Moses,
So he's got that old school bite your face off mentality, and it's fair because Will Levis went from last week executing one of the single worst interceptions you can ever see just by flipping the ball, trying to flip it like an option pitch 15 yards for a pick six, and then he does the same thing, underhand toss. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's
you
not
can't have
good.
Any other reaction than that the coach had.
What the bleep's going on? The Dolphins and Tua came out and said he is not retiring from the National Football League. He will be playing as soon as he is cleared. But the Dolphins did sign Tyler Huntley, who is a Pro Bowl quarterback.
That's right.
Off of the Baltimore Ravens practice squad. So there that's maybe a contingency plan for them.
It's just a bummer that Joe Flacco wasn't available.
No, I know. Oh, Joe. And, hey, how about that game yesterday with the Packers beating the Colts? Anthony Richardson. Malik Willis ends up getting the win there. I mean,
made some plays.
Didn't see that happening, but they ran the ball very, very well, did the Green Bay Packers, to make it 1-1. Really poorly officiated game. Yeah, you could say maybe all around in the NFL, but last night some weird things going down with the Texans and the Bears. You had a punch thrown by Al Shaair that they're just like, hey, that's cool. We're not going
to call a flag. Roschon Johnson
here
just ate one on the sideline, and kudos to him for having the discipline.
I thought the Bears handled that great.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we're not going to respond, but it still didn't matter. There was no flag thrown. And then Joe Mixon gets hurt, ankle injury on a hip drop tackle.
Yeah.
Now, the NFL was supposed to be enforcing this. Well, he was ticked off. He went on X, a.k.a. Twitter, said the NFL and the NFLPA made it a rule and an emphasis for a reason. Time to put your money where your mouth is. Yeah. Now, the good news is Mixon did come back in the game and played, so hopefully that's not something that lingers on. But that was ugly. Could have been worse.
They've had a couple of these hip tackles that they haven't called. We had Dean Blandino on yesterday, and he was kind of trying to talk about it a little bit, but it didn't make a lot of sense. You know, it's kind of like these crews are told, hey, you know, keep an eye on this player's safety, and then they don't call it.
So, they're balancing a lot of things, yeah. You know, trying to keep the TV product watchable at the same time.
Yeah, as their players get just taken off the field.
It's crazy. Yeah,
not good.
Yeah, not good.
Last two things, some wide receiver updates for you. Amon-Ra St. Brown has a contusion, and he was cramping. That's the reason he left the game yesterday. They're hoping that's nothing serious. And then Cooper Kupp gets hurt yesterday for the Rams. The Rams are just
hip tackle, I believe.
It's wow. Yeah, it's just awful. It's a left foot lower leg injury. They don't have Puka Nacuo for at least a month. Their entire offensive line's injured. I don't know what they're doing there with the Rams, but it's rough.
It's an effective technique.
It is. It is. It is, but not safe at all. Yeah.
All righty. Thank you, Wolchuk. NFL news today. Most every afternoon, 3 o'clock, we had the Mike McCarthy presser at the top of the hour if you want to go back and listen to that. Okay, it is time now for the most anticipated segment of our Cowboys Mondays. Is Brian first to look at the film? What's coming up, buddy?
Yeah, let's do the autopsy on this one. We'll do that next.
All righty. The Nation. Thank you, Lucius. It's an overreaction Cowboys Monday, but Krusty's watched the film. He's got the real deal for you. Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. McCarthy, he said something interesting. It's never as bad as it seems and never as good as it seems. He said that.
Yeah. One of the 15 cliches he said in the first 4 seconds.
He had a bunch of cliches today. You guys had more questions about the offense or defense today?
Defense.
What way?
I mean, how bad was this defensive line? What was it when it came to not being able to stop the run, especially along the edges, which is where the Saints had their success?
Yeah, there's people that I know that John Owning and I kind of got into it a little bit of some discussion about, you know, I felt like that the edges weren't particularly good, and John was arguing that the tackles weren't particularly good and the run fits weren't good. You know, I think there's some of that to, I think there's just really kind of some blame to go all around with the run defense and the way they played.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, though, that there were times where the Saints did a really nice job of making you feel like that you were going to be single blocked, and then it turned into double team blocks. And then when it turned into double team blocks, then guys were able to get off of those double team blocks and then get to other blocks. And this was one of those games where the defensive tackles, and I think John's right in this way, did you no favors in this football game.
They were awful.
Yeah. When it comes to if, and I said this in the crosstalk and some other things and some discussions we had, if this run defense is going to be any good at all, it's going to have to be because the linebackers go make plays. And your linebackers had absolutely no chance really to make plays yesterday when it came to playing run defense. Now, the ability of the Saints to come off the football, to use what I was talking about, the 21 personnel, the 22 personnel, they were able to secure edges, and then they were also able to take their guards and centers and then get them up onto your linebackers. And you played in this game you played 88% of the time you played your base defense. That was most in the league by far. Well, we have a game tonight, but I don't expect the Atlanta or Philadelphia to play base defense the entire game. That's
well, to be fair, the Saints are playing basically every play with a fullback or an extra tight end.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You were just matching up personnel.
It was a matchup, yeah. You were trying to match up the best you could, and where the Saints were able to make things happen was inside when they got those We talked about McCoy, the center, and the way that he was able to play. Ruiz, the way he was able to play. You know, Patrick, the other guard. They just basically said that they took care of your triangle inside. Those, when you look at the defensive tackles and then the linebackers, and then they at the point of attack were able to take, and I said this earlier, I felt like that they took really a good advantage of knowing that where Tank was or where Micah was in this. And there were a lot of times where those tight ends, those tackles were able to come off the ball and get in. And once they secured the inside, then they worked on the edges. And once the edges were secured, then that left your corners and your safeties to have to come up and make plays. And you just weren't good enough to do that. Last week, you know, Eric, we were talking about the Carolina last week was before Kamara got hit in the game, you know, almost three yards before he was even touched.
Yeah, 3 yards before contact.
Yeah, this was very, very similar before, you know, the Cowboys just could not get anybody in position. And like I say, a lot of it had to do with the fits, but the fits weren't allowed because the blockers were on the linebackers before they even had a chance to react.
What'd you think about when McCarthy said that it looked like a young and inexperienced team?
Well, on the defensive side of the ball?
He was talking generally. Would that apply to the defense?
Well, he was probably talking a little bit about Leofowl and what his situation was. You look at when Overshown got on the field, he was a little bit, there was some struggle with him, you know, getting off some of the blocks. Some of the main problems that they did have, though, it's the veteran offensive tackle, or excuse me, the veteran defensive tackles.
Phillips and Joseph.
When you feel like Phillips and Joseph.
Gosh. Mazi, I think, is better than those guys.
It was just so clear that these guys, the Saints really didn't have to worry about those tackles as much. It's like, okay, let's step, let's try and secure, but we got guys that already got him cut off, and now you just take the guy and run him to the second level. It was no like play the double teams and then allow the linebackers to go. It was like brush and then go onto the linebackers. So the inexperienced part I can understand. He's probably talking a little bit about Carson as well.
Yeah.
If you look at the touchdown pass that they had, the one that Shaheed, the 70-yard bomb, they're in cover two. And what Carson has to do is he's in a position where he has to jam that receiver. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything to affect Shaheed, and all of a sudden you've got a vertical route, which is on Hooker, and then he takes it to the middle, and now you've got the safety, you know, Wilson on the other side trying to find the, you know, he sees what's happening, but he can't make the play over there. It was a perfect. There was only 1.6 yards of separation. I looked that up.
It was a perfect pass.
Wow. Yeah, that's how close that play was, and so. With 1.6 yards, I think Wilson did the best he could. But Carson has to help on the play by if he gets some type of jam on Shaheed, then maybe that allows, because you had late pressure from Osa on the play, and that would have allowed maybe that if Carr has to hold the ball just a little bit longer because he's waiting for the route to clear. Well, maybe you get Osa home on that particular thing, but all around, that was just a really poor a defensive. And I don't know if I can't say the effort. I just say that physically, if you look at how the Saints played, he was talking about, you know, beat them to the punch.
They're just quicker off the ball.
Well, they just got into their blocks and they were able to turn you, move you, wash you. You know, they were able to kind of handle. Now, you made some self-inflicted mistakes. I talked about it on the screen that went for 57 yards for a touchdown. You've got Kendricks in coverage there. They run a blitz coming to Carr's right. They run the screen going left. You know, that's a one-on-one right there with Kendricks, and then also with Alvin Kamara. He overshoots the play. Now it goes back to the inside. Here's a young guy, inexperienced again. Carson takes a terrible angle to the ball, and now you're out the gate, and it's going to be a touchdown that way. So, I you know, there were some things that happened to you on defense that were self-inflicted in a lot of ways. Yeah, the Saints got after you really well, but there's some things that you could have done to help yourself, and you didn't do that.
The one other big defensive question I would have is, what'd you notice when it came to Micah Parsons and them being able to mitigate his effectiveness?
Yeah, there was when Parsons against the run, and this is where John and I kind of got into it a little bit, because there were some times where I felt like that Parsons got widened on the play. It was a couple times where he was able to play off the block and get into play. Okay, 3 yard gain, fine. But they had some 7 yard gains. They had a touchdown run where he got knocked too wide. But John was arguing that the tackle was so bad. Well, no, it was a 1-on-1 block. It was, they got the tackle. They're, you know, he's thinking like, oh, well, Parsons is playing wide in order to, you know, if the tackle fills that spot, you know, and then
he's free.
Then he, yeah, the line. But they had all three guys blocked at the point of attack.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could say that Micah played that particularly well.
He got too far upfield.
Yeah,
on that,
I mean,
one.
He's washed. They hooked the tackle, and then they get a guy up on the linebacker. John's arguing, well, he's got to squeeze. You know, if they, the way that he played, they should have filled that better. Well, you know, Micah could have taken that on better. He could have played a little bit stouter at the point of attack. Yeah, the defensive tackle wasn't particularly good on the play. But, you know, Micah could play with a little bit more power on that and kind of squeeze that a little more. Instead, you know, Kamara gets up through there and they gets in the secondary, and it's a touchdown run. So the way they mitigated him, though, with Micah in the pass rushing stuff is that, to me, they when you watch, they were able to take a fullback or take a tight end, put him on one side of the field, and bring him across, so Micah feels like that he's got a 1-on-1, but now it's a double team block on the outside right there. So he's like, all of a sudden now he's being double teamed. Mm-hmm. They also motioned to him as well, and then kind of kept him there, and then they also blocked him 1-on-1. So they gave him a lot of different looks as far as a back chipper, a motion chipper, and then a across the pocket chipper to kind of help out with that, the pass rush. They clearly did not have any respect for anybody else rushing the passer,
right,
on that defensive line with, you know, with Tank and others. But no, Micah was their main concern there, and they were able to, like I say, create situations where he was always at least had one guy on him or two guys on him, and not letting him have a free. They didn't get any many third down situations either in this football game.
Yeah,
there were a lot
the second quarter.
Yeah, really, there were a lot of big plays that they were able to make, and at one point in time they were like 4 for 4 on third down.
Mm-hmm. And they
were in the third quarter, well into the third quarter before, you know. So they really, Dallas didn't do anything to slow them down on first down or second down to be able to get them to third down to where they could really get after the passer.
Yeah, they were playing ahead of sticks the whole time, and then they never really do just like traditional drop back passes either. It's like, I mean, Kubiak has this thing dialed. It's screens, it's play actions, it's moving stuff. So it's never just a traditional drop back pass where you get to rush the quarterback the same type of way. I mean, it's a brilliant offense.
Yeah, and you know, and I was thinking again, Dawson, about your question that you asked. But there was a crossing route too, and I just remembered that there was a crossing route with Olave on third down, and so what happens? They're playing zone coverage, and it passes all the way to Overshown.
Yeah,
and he looks inside to see, he sees the crosser, but he doesn't react. So now Olave's to him, past him, and then they fire him the ball, and he's able to get up the field for the first down. So now you're looking at it, you're thinking like, okay. The crosser goes all the way from Leofau to Kendricks to Overshown, and now he's late to react, and he looks inside to see the crosser, but he doesn't react quick enough to get to the play, and Olave makes the catch and then goes up the field that way.
Quickly, Brian, I know we're on defense here. I think it's great Zach Martin wasn't hurt worse.
Yeah.
Is he still really good? How would you say he's playing?
I think that Zach Martin is playing at a level right now that is not to where his standards are. Huh. I think Zach Martin is playing, you know, just if you look at, and I'm not even going to say, to me, it's, his bar is so high the way he plays. And maybe if we have time later on, I know we have a full show. Can I circle back on the offense?
We absolutely should.
I mean, because there's some things I want to get in. I've got this whole red zone thing broken down, and I'd like to get into that if I could too. But I think with Zach Martin, you're looking at a situation right now where clearly he is not at the level that he once was playing at, but it's still a winning level. And I don't think there's any huge drop off here. I just think that he's more kind of a medium player than the great player, the Hall of Fame player he's been in the past.
Okay, we'll do that coming up at 4:40.
Okay, yeah, okay. I'd like to get into
crustaceans corner. Yeah, part two.
There's some things on this offense I want to get into, the interceptions, Tolbert extensions, and then I want to talk about this red zone if I can.
No, you take it. We can skip around the bases, man. Yeah. I'd rather listen to that.
Okay. We got C-Note coming up next. Cowboys news of the evening. Did you see what Dak said after the game? John Machota's coming up at 5:20 from The Athletic. He'll be chatting Cowboys with you here coming up in the Expressway. That's next in the Nation.